Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Take Six Podcast. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Hunter Surplus. And as always, with me on the other line is Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, you know, just easing into the summer now. I mean, you don't really have to ease into the summer, but it's kind of a switch from the whole year, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the weather is finally becoming nice. There is a couple gray clouds out as we record this right now, but the weather is becoming nice. Beautiful days. I'm with you there, Cal, just easing into the summer. So today's episode, Cal, as you know, we are going to be talking about the Toronto Raptors and the NBA Awards. We're going to focus on the Raptors in the NBA Awards. Did you watch the show last night?
Yeah, I did.
That shit sucked. It sucked, man. It was so bad. I was watching and I Googled to see when it started, right? And 8 p.m. is when they said it started. I didn't realize that's when the red carpet started. So I'm there and they're watching. It's an hour long red carpet, bro. Golly. In the first 30 minutes, it wasn't even players. It was just people talking. That's it. It was just taught. It's stupid. You shouldn't have a red carpet for these guys. I hate to say it. I get it's an award show, but you shouldn't have an hour long red carpet show beforehand. And matter of fact, the whole thing just took way too long. Way too long. It never should have gone as long as it did. Never. They shouldn't have had all those stupid skits in between. Some of them were funny, right? Shaq, Chuck, and Kenny, those guys are funny guys. They make me laugh. But I can't listen to those guys try to be funny for that long. You know what I mean? Them just being themselves is funny in general. Right, when Shaq is messing with Barkley, hilarious. That's grade A television. But when these guys are just trying to be funny, doing all these skits, it's oh my god, just show the awards. This honestly could have been a 45-minute show.
Oh, I was thinking the exact same thing the entire time, man. I was like, buddy, when are these awards gonna come?
Because literally, dude,
I think it was between. I think it was between Coach of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh.
Where it was literally an hour. It legit took almost an hour because they were just doing just the dumbest stuff. And oh my god.
And so also what I didn't get was throughout the show, they would show the highlights from the MVPs, each MVP. Yeah. But it's you do that anyways when you're announcing the finalists. So why do we have to show a minute and a half montage of Giannis slamming on everybody and Paul George, doing what Paul George does? It makes no sense how these guys are doing that. Why would you ever do that? We've seen it. Let me go to Bleacher Report or House of Highlights to find that. I don't need you guys to post it all, make this.
I think I kind of know why they did that. So have you ever watched the Oscars?
Yeah.
So what they do for the Oscars is picture of the year, the best picture or whatever. They show each movie and they're little clips of it throughout the show and they get announced by somebody different. So that's kind of what they did. Shaq announced,
bro, but this isn't the Oscars, man.
No, I know. I didn't
it was stupid. Yeah, no, I just
look up highlights wherever, but golly. I that's pretty much why they did that. I think because it's the biggest awards of the night, so they're let's hype this up. But we already know who's in there, and we've already seen all their highlights throughout the year. Man. It's not a movie where you have to actually go and see it. It's completely different.
Yeah, I don't get it. And some of the speeches, dude, Coach of the Year, Mike Budenholzer, his speech was way too long, man. Oh, my God, dude.
The only one that I actually liked that was long was Antetokounmpo's because
His was long. I like Siakam. Siakam's was long,
was good.
Everyone else, Luka was just all right. Yeah, I knew I was the best. Lou Williams, been here, done that. Rudy Gobert, that guy didn't even prepare for his speech, man. That guy had no idea what was going on.
He was still
Rudy Gobert.
The All-Star game.
Yeah. But, all right, so Pascal Siakam. Let's start there because he was our lone winner of the night. Pascal Siakam was the most improved player, and that is not a shock to anybody. Not to me, not to you, not to anybody. Were you surprised at, like, how swayed the voting was, like, in his favor?
Did they release, like, the voting?
Yeah, so he was 86 first-place votes and 13 second-place votes. So that means one person didn't vote for Pascal Siakam at all.
What the heck?
So, yeah. Like, yeah, so that basically
does not surprise me.
Yeah, 99 people were, 99 people voted for him, basically.
Yeah, like, the only people that, I mean, I don't get how you could still see, because, like, I was on Instagram beforehand, and it was like, who's, like, going to win MIP, and it was the picture of the three guys, and so many people were saying D'Lo, like, D'Lo, yeah, like, yeah. The one that pissed me off the most was like, yeah, I guess if you count the playoffs, you could put Siakam there. But D'Lo showed up the entire year. I was like, first of all, no, he didn't. He only showed up for a certain amount of games where he put the team on his back because there's nobody else on that team. Second of all, Siakam was so consistent throughout the entire season. It's actually crazy how you would even think that. Like, he did worse in the playoffs. Like, he wasn't as consistent in the playoffs. So it's so stupid.
Yeah, man. Like, here are some other guys that got votes that, you know, shouldn't have even been in the conversation. Spencer Dinwiddie, Josh Richardson, Zach LaVine, I understand for what he did at the beginning of the year, but you shouldn't have got it. Jeremy Grant, Bryn Forbes, Derek White, Willie Cauley-Stein. Like, come on. It should have been Pascal Siakam and D'Angelo Russell and, you know, I guess De'Aaron Fox as well. But I'm not that this was a close finish at all. Like, Siakam ended up with 469 total points. D'Angelo Russell had 255. And like I said, 86 first place, 13 second place. I thought he was going to get over 90 first place votes. That didn't happen, but I thought it was going to happen because Siakam, like you said, like we've mentioned this so many times on the podcast, Cal. We've talked about this so many times in person. Siakam was just better. Like, Siakam was better than D'Angelo Russell was this season in general. Mm-hmm. Was Siakam better than D'Angelo Russell last season? No. Was Siakam going to be a really good, really big contributor to an NBA champion team this year? No, I didn't think so. You didn't think so. Nobody in the whole entire universe, except for maybe Pascal Siakam and his mother, thought so. D'Angelo Russell, all this guy did was hit shots that he wasn't hitting in years prior. And, like, I guess that does make you a better basketball player because, you know, basketball is about hitting shots. But, like, his handles didn't get better. His passing didn't get better. His shot selection didn't get better. He just, his usage went way up, so his points went way up. Pascal Siakam, yeah, he got an extra, 8 to 10 minutes per game. But, like, his production went up, his efficiency went up, his type of shots, his handle, his passing, his ability to do everything, his contribution went up. You don't see that kind of stuff from anybody. Like, I thought this was going to be not unanimous, but the closest thing to unanimous as you could get.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the executive of the year, I also kind of want to talk about because John Horst won executive of the year and he's the Milwaukee executive. Masai Ujiri ended up fourth place in voting, dude. Fourth place.
That's insane, man.
Which, like, and you know what? You shouldn't really be mad about an award like this, you know? You shouldn't really get angry about that. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what this Horst guy did in this year. And this is it. All right. So Dante DiVincenzo picked in the NBA draft. Hasn't done anything. Ersan Ilyasova, free agent. Brooke Lopez, free agent. Those are both good. Signed Travis Trice. I don't even know who that guy is. Signed Trayvon Duval. Signed Jalen Morris. Both the two-way contracts. Signed Brandon McCoy. Signed Pat Connaughton. Signed Jordan Barnett. Signed Robert Johnson. Signed James Young. Signed Ike Nwemu. None of these guys. Like, the only reason this team got to where it was because of Giannis, and they had Giannis. You don't get executive of the year for a pick you made 4 years ago. You don't. You just don't do that. And obviously they made a few trades here and there, but none of them, you know, really put them over the top at all. Like there was nothing. They got a little bit of cash in both trades. You know, they signed Pau Gasol, who didn't play. They signed Eric Bledsoe to a contract. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Masai Ujiri did everything. Masai Ujiri literally got the best player in the conference to come to his team in a trade. And they just like won that trade by 100. Like it's impossible to even fathom how much they won that trade by.
And then he had another insane trade later on in the season. And then we won the title. Like, I don't.
And I get that it's a regular season award and like they do all the voting beforehand, but like, how did you not realize that? Like, how did you not realize that Masai Ujiri made one of the best moves this whole season? How did you not realize that he made the two biggest splashes this season by trading for Kawhi and then trading for Marc Gasol at the deadline? And the two people ahead of him are Lawrence Frank from LA and Tim Connelly in Denver. And I get those two, but they should not be ahead of Masai Ujiri. And John Horst sure as hell should not be ahead of Masai Ujiri. Like, holy, can't even believe it, man. Can't even believe it, dude. Nuts.
Yeah. Nuts. Like, it makes sense that Budenholzer won because what he did with that team was pretty insane. Like, yeah, you have Giannis, but like, the entirety of that team is what made them first place. And that was, I think that was Budenholzer's work, not.
Yeah. Well, like they also, you know, the defense went from, you know, like 15th to fourth or something. And the offense went from, you know, 18th to fifth or something like that. Something along those lines.
That's why I think, Budenholzer deserved that award.
Absolutely.
I think it was not even a question that he won that.
Well, people are saying that, you know, if you were to take into account Nick Nurse or the playoffs, Nick Nurse probably would have won it, which I kind of agree with. But since it's a regular season award, people are even saying that he should have been one of the finalists. I don't know. Like, do you agree with that?
No.
Dude, me too. Like, I don't like how many. Go ahead.
Obviously, Nick Nurse, like, we won. Like, he got his stuff together in the second half of the playoffs. In the first half, especially in that first half of that Philly series, bro, you and me, after every single game, were so pissed off because of like the decisions he made that led to us losing. But then he got it together at the end of or the second half of the playoffs, and obviously it worked out really well. I think also that because it was his first year coaching, that had a big impact. But I mean, first year coaching, get 57 wins, like, with a team that was pretty much new. Like, the entirety of the team was completely swapped around. You could even say Siakam was new because this guy was actually like 1,000 times better than previous years. So really, you just had like Lowry, and then you swap in all these other guys and you have a completely new team, and we still ended up with 57 wins. And then he figured it out in the playoffs, and that led to us winning the championship. So I don't think he should have been considered in the top three. I think those three guys there, maybe not Rivers, but at least the Denver and Budenholzer, they definitely deserve to be there.
Yeah, like, how many times did we come on this show during the regular season and say, what the hell is Nick Nurse doing with this rotation? How many times have people across all of like Twitter, all the social media has been like, what is this guy doing? Why is he playing player X right now? Why is this whole ass bench rotation out there when we're you know, when they're minus 15, each player is minus 15. I don't get how people are now saying, yeah, he should have won Coach of the Year when everybody was talking shit about how bad Nick Nurse was in terms of, you know, what, not like his play calls or anything, but like his timeout decisions, his rotation decisions, and even his late game play calls where Kawhi was just isolating the whole time. And obviously he did get better as the season went on. And we talked about this, that near the end of the season, we saw some of his improvements and him getting a little more comfortable. And then, like you said, in that second half of the season, he was awesome. He was so good. He outcoached Mike Boonholzer like it was nothing. He almost outcoached Steve Kerr. And I don't know, man. Like, how can you even say that Nick Nurse is in the running for that? It's kind of shocking to me. And I'm not trying to discredit what Nick Nurse did, because obviously, you know, he's an NBA champion. He won the championship. He was the best coach in the playoffs. But I don't know, man. People saying that are really confusing me, because they're the same people who were saying that he was doing everything wrong in the regular season. And that's when this award is, man. That's when this award is. There's no other Raptors up for any awards here. Is there any that you really want to talk about at all or get into at all?
The amount of people that I talked to that were like surprised with the awards, I was like, you guys are crazy, man. Like, people were so, I talked to like at least three different people last night, like, and they're like, I asked them who you think is going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Most of them said Paul George. And I was like, man, like, how can you not, like, people still don't recognize how good a defender Rudy Gobert is, man. This guy's actually insane. Best paint defender in the league easily. Best blocker in the league easily.
Rudy Gobert is the best defender in this league right now. Like, it's not even particularly close.
Yeah.
I mean, Giannis ended up second in that voting, and Paul George ended up third. And I think that's exactly how it should have been. I think that, you know, Giannis was the second best defender in the league. He's probably a more versatile defender than Rudy Gobert, but he doesn't have the same impact. The reason that Utah's defense is so good is because of how good Rudy Gobert is. The reason that Utah can play the defense that they play is because Rudy Gobert, they know Rudy Gobert is back there to help them out. So they're allowed to roam around the perimeter a little more. They're allowed to do what they do in terms of their defensive style of play. Giannis Antetokounmpo is basically just a one-man show, right? Not a one-man show, but he's out there and there's a lot of help defense in that system, and there's a lot of switching and moving around and all that kind of stuff, and Giannis allows that to happen. Paul George, like, a lot of steals, a lot of deflections and stuff, but he doesn't anchor an entire defense. He does not anchor an entire defense. If Andre Roberson is there for OKC this season, they probably have a better defense than if it's just Paul George, or if like Paul George is the main guy. I think that's pretty obvious. But yeah, man, like I agree with you. Like, people were saying that, like, I wanted James Harden to win MVP. I thought that he should have won MVP.
Yeah.
But Giannis also, like, you know, either way, it wasn't going to be a bad decision unless Paul George won the MVP, basically. Like, Giannis had a fantastic Shaq-esque season. James Harden had one of the best, if not the best, scoring season of, you know, basically since Wilt Chamberlain and you know, this kind of newer era of basketball. Like, you never see things like that anymore. And he's going to break records and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. Yeah, like, are anything else that you wanted to get into in terms of the awards at all?
What are your thoughts on that new House of Highlights award?
I think it's cool. Like, it's a cool little, like, integration that these guys have made up. And, you know, a lot of people, I say this all the time, is that, you know, basketball is a young people's sport. So when you can connect something that's from Instagram and Twitter and the social medias, you can put it in and make an award out of it. I think it's fair, man, because it's a cool thing, right? Like, it's fan voted. It's a moment that people can react to, and that people can, you know, rather than just like be it so media based and so like professional. It's more of a really cool moment that happened, and maybe it's something that people forgot about. And I think that them giving it to who they gave it to, right? Derrick Rose 50-point game. I think that's cool, right? Like, it's not just a really nice dunk or a really nice play or whatever. I think it's really cool that they have it. I think now that they should, now that they have the House of Highlights Award, they should extend that through to the playoffs as well, because those moments, obviously, like, I think that Derrick Rose moment is one of the best moments in the past few years of basketball, but having it and being able to say, like, this playoff, I'm like, the Damian Lillard shot, the Kawhi shot, obviously I'm biased with the Kawhi shot, but some of those moments probably would have surpassed that Derrick Rose moment, and they should be recognized as well. And since this is postseason and it's not like a legitimate official award, I guess, I think it's probably not a bad idea to throw the playoffs into that one as well.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a really cool award. Like, as a basketball fan, I think that that Derrick Rose one is like one of the best I've ever seen. Like, to have this guy who is known, like, he won the MVP, man. Like, he was insane when he was healthy. And then just like the worst happened to this guy. And you fell for him, and once he, like, he dropped that 50 points. I remember I watched the fourth quarter of that game, and it was insane to see him play like that again. And yeah, I think that is just a great award to give. Like you said, yeah, those playoff moments are pretty insane. And like, probably for me, it'd be the Kawhi shot, just because it's.
That's nuts. It's
the
Kawhi
shot. It's the Kawhi shot.
It's the craziest thing. That defined, like, that's going to be the moment of the playoffs. 100%.
That's going to
be
the moment of the Raptors playoffs. That literally was it. That was the play. Because after that, it was like, it was smooth sailing, man. Like, we pretty much dominated the next two series. And yeah, like, it sealed our fate, I think. I think that once we hit that, we're like, yeah, the title's ours. No doubt in my mind.
100%. And so, and you know what, it brings a lot of fan engagement too, which is cool. Like, it is something exciting that I was excited to see who was going to win it. And it did that, you know, that 3-minute stretch where they were talking about it or whatever. That was really cool. Instead of me waiting there, twiddling my thumbs, watching some idiot, stupid skit that these guys were doing. Anyways, so there's two more things I want to talk about that I just kind of remembered. As we were speaking here, is that Masai Ujiri pretty much said that he wants to stay in Toronto, and B, Kawhi Leonard having a really big possibility, or he's really considering re-signing in Toronto, but also having a meeting with the LA Clippers set up. Which do you want to get into first?
Talk about Masai first and then go into Kawhi.
Does that surprise you at all? His comments basically saying that I want to be in Toronto?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have been mad if he left, because like he won us a championship, man. Like he did the toughest thing, and he ripped apart this team like to the core, and like messed up relationships. He messed up his relationship with our leader, like Kyle Lowry, like all this stuff. He messed up his relationship with the fans. It's all this stuff that happened, and he did it because he knew that he had to do something to bring this city a championship, and that's exactly what he did. And I think, because there was all those rumors about Washington, right? And I think that, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we had lost, he would be more likely to leave, or compared to if, like, when we won. I think it didn't really matter. I think he knows he likes Toronto. Especially now, just seeing all the fans at like the parade and after the win, I think he's definitely, yeah, he's going to stay for sure until like something huge comes along for him. But I think this is his home.
And people are saying like maybe it was a thing sent out by the Clippers to like show some sort of chaos going on in Toronto. Like, that's some kind of conspiracy that people are spewing out there. I don't know if I believe all that, but I mean, I don't think it was ever going to happen. I never thought that it was ever going to happen. But what I had always said, I said this pretty much from, you know, the midway point of the season onwards, is that Masai, all you have to do is make sure that you re-sign Kawhi, and then you can go wherever you want. You can leave, you can go wherever your heart takes you. But to me, like, that's not what Masai is. Why would you build up this team basically from the ground and take this team to heights that it had never reached before on multiple different occasions just to leave, right? Like, maybe he likes the confusion and the stress of, you know, trying to rebuild the team, which is exactly what you would have in Washington. He likes the chaos, all that kind of stuff. But why would you leave a city that just won the championship? And even if Kawhi doesn't resign, he's got that chaos again with him, right? Like, he's got that rebuilding state, not necessarily rebuilding state, but he's got that non-championship caliber state where he's going to have to build a team and have to get back to where they were this past season. So now Kawhi, they came out, I think it was Yahoo that came out, Chris Haynes came out and said that Kawhi Leonard is opting out of his $21 million player option, which is not surprising in the slightest bit, dude. Like, that is probably there were people who were on Twitter saying, yeah, I said that he was going to opt out 6 days ago. Buddy, listen, everybody said that like 4 years ago when he first signed the contract. Like, of course that's what's going to happen. That's what players do. That's what it is. That's, you know, that's the NBA. That's how every single player works. It's like, you guys are idiots, first of all. But the second part of that article or report, whatever you want to call it, was that Kawhi Leonard is strongly considering re-signing in Toronto, and that he didn't specify whether there was a 1-1 or a 2-year, 3-year deal, 3-1 or a 4-1 or a 5-year deal with the max, but that's strongly considering is the headline of that to me. What do you think? Like, is that surprising to you at all?
Mm-mm. I think it's just getting more and more likely that he resigns here. Everyone's freaking out that he has that meeting with the Clippers, but that's common. That's very common, because you go to hear their pitch and then he'll make his decision. I don't think he's going to meet with any other teams. I would be surprised if he did. But I think that he knows, like, bro, who wins a title and then leaves? Like, not like you've won 3 titles in a row or anything like that. Like, wins a title and then doesn't try to defend that title. Like, that's... Well,
it's, and furthermore on that point, it's who is the... Like, who wins a title as the main guy?
Yeah, as the guy. Like, yeah, as the guy. Who got that title.
Exactly.
It's like LeBron left Miami after they won a... Like,
but
what,
they didn't. But they didn't win that. They didn't win that last one. They lost that last one. Then he left.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Like, he.
Oh, you yeah, yeah. Just, but like, yeah, yeah. You don't. Just, yeah, then, exactly. But yeah, like, man. Like, and that's kind of everybody's. That's a lot of people's argument that are in kind of the media. But also, what I have to say is that I don't think anybody knows a damn thing about what Kawhi's doing. I don't think anybody knows a damn thing about what Kawhi's doing, except for Kawhi Leonard and, you know, his inner circle. And unless Uncle Dennis is, you know, leaking this stuff, or, you know, his sister or his aunt or whatever, whoever it is, unless they're leaking this stuff, which I don't think is happening, nobody knows a damn thing about what's going on. Because Kawhi Leonard, as we know, and as we've learned, as every NBA player or fan and everyone in the media in the NBA knows, is that this guy's kept to himself. He doesn't like to leak stuff about himself. He likes to make his own decisions based on what he wants, not based on what the fans are going to say, not based on what Instagram's going to say. He does it based on what he wants to do, and he doesn't let anybody know what it is until he does it. So, I mean, as much as I think that, you know, this is a good sign that he is strongly considering re-signing, I don't know if Chris Haynes knows a damn thing about what Kawhi's doing. And in terms of the meeting with LA, it's on July 2nd, right? he can make that decision June 30th at 6 p.m. He can make that decision on whether he's staying or not.
Yep.
It's a tentative. And what I read was that it is a tentative meeting. So, like, it's not 100% that it's going to be going on. He just has it set up in his calendar, meeting with Los Angeles Clippers. And maybe he's waiting to see if they sign someone else. Maybe he's waiting to see if Kevin Durant's there. That's the reason why it's tentative, and that's why it's on July 2nd. But I don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to wait till July 8th or July 6th to re-sign or make his decision, because I think he knows that, you know, those 5 days, those 6 days, whatever, however long it takes, he's going to be probably the main guy everyone's talking about, because KD is probably going to make his decision right away. Klay Thompson, probably pretty soon. A lot of these superstars do that. You know, Kawhi Leonard might do the same thing, just because, you know, why am I going to wait X amount more days where I'm going to be the main guy in the limelight? But to me, no one knows a damn thing. I don't know a damn thing. You don't know a damn thing. Chris Haynes probably knows as much as we do. He's just got better connections. That's what I think, man. Like, nobody knows anything about what this guy's doing. So, like, it doesn't surprise me that he's strongly reconsidering, because why wouldn't you consider that? You if you want to win basketball games, come back to Toronto. That's what's going to be done. If you want to sit out 20, 25 games a season, come back to Toronto. That's all it is. Like, yeah, games. That's it. Where else are you going to sit out 20 games and still be the second best team in the whole league? I don't think there's a single damn team that would have done that this year, other than like the Warriors. But we all know he's not going there.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, man. All right, dude. I think that is it for us. This probably won't be our last Raptors podcast, because we'll do a free agency thing. Maybe we'll do a pre-free agency thing, but we'll see. I don't know. So we'll talk about that. Anyways, guys, have a great rest of your week. We'll try to do a Blue Jays podcast if we get motivated to do so. There's not a whole lot of positivity to talk about with them, but we will keep everybody updated. Once again, thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at @take_6, on Instagram at @take6podcast. You can go to our website, take6.org. And obviously, wherever you guys are listening to us right now, keep listening to us. You can subscribe, rate, and review, and that would mean the world to us. Callum, as always, great talking to you, pal.